Hey, Christian.
Hello, Alexis. Welcome back.
I'm back, baby. Do me a favor. Would you please write something for me with my new pen? That's right, folks.
Everybody, new and old, whether you have just joined during the Yahoo era.
Yeah, you may not know the reference.
You may not know the Cooligans lore about pen. Alexis wanted to...
I want to spend dumb money on a pen.
Exactly.
And but do me a favor, look at the pen. What's it say on it?
It says, it says Mont Blanc, and it has your name on it.
It's got my name on it.
Okay, and we were talking about this because pens... I was talking about being a fan of nice pens, and I brought up my Parker pen.
Yeah.
And then we looked up the cost of a Parker pen.
Which was $12. So I Venmo you $12. I said, homie, live your dreams. You know what I mean?
When I was a kid, this was a fancy pen.
That was the epitome.
Exactly. And now, Mont Blanc pen, they're not $12.
No, but this one also, this isn't the crazy, crazy one. And how about this? I didn't have to pay for it. That's right. I stole it. No. I want to say thank you to my stepbrother, my half-brother, Nico, who got this for me.
It's either your stepbrother or your half-brother.
You need to figure stepbrother out. Is if they join my family. Half-brother is if...
Families are joining, yes.
All right. So my father, who was a bit of a journeyman,
signed a lot of contracts.
Yeah, when it comes to families, they get in a lot of 10-day contracts. He went off and had a family in Florida. He did the same thing to them he did to us. He left them. But now I'm cool with them. And these are your blood of my blood. If
exactly.
You will.
Okay. So, I mean, this
you're
is.
You're writing with it before I do.
Exactly.
Right,
so,
it?
The first thing written by this man, if you can get a little ISO here, this says, I love you, Dad, from Alexis.
Oh, well, that will never be written. That will never be written by my hands.
So Alexis is on the journey of forgiving his father for...
Yeah, that's
for
certainly not happening.
But abandoning the family.
I love two families, by the way. At least you're consistent. But okay. I said I wanted a Mont Blanc. Your boy got a Mont Blanc.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Nico.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the show. Yes, Alexis has been away on vacation. You were traversing through Italia.
Bro, I was running through Italy eating all that mid pizza, bro.
Okay, Alexis out there starting a couple other families like his dad.
Please. I was with my wife, everybody. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Not that I would be doing it if I wasn't. Good God, Christian.
That was the only thing stopping
you. Can I write, I hate you, Christian, Alexis? No, I was with the wife. My wife is, she has friends in Milan.
Yeah.
I said, let's go visit. Let's go to Rome. My wife ended up getting tickets to the Taylor Swift concert.
Look at that.
And you know what I did instead of going? Because I did not want to go.
Really?
And of course not. Why would I stand there? I don't even know if that's her song. I don't want to do that.
It's Cruel Summer.
My wife went to San Siro before me.
Wow.
Because that's where the concert was. And she goes, yo, you know the bathroom's just a hole? Yeah. Bro, these stadiums is dumb old, bro. It's just a little bit younger than the Coliseum. I went to a Italian sports bar to watch the Euros final. And can I tell you, nobody likes the English. Like, not one other nation.
The brand is not too strong with England
bro.
Right now.
Internationally, they're not really vibing.
So we will catch up. There's a lot to catch up on. So everybody, welcome to the Cooligans on... You love to hear it. We're excited that Alexis is back. We're excited to be back. There's obviously the Euros and Copa America.
We're going
to
talk about a lot.
But there's so much to catch up on.
We got to talk about 14-year-olds playing in MLS. We got to talk about Argentina being Argentinian. and the vice president being super Argentinian. We got to talk about Messi with the boot.
The boot. It's not golden either.
No.
My man is recovering from that injury. So we'll talk a lot about MLS.
What a missed opportunity, though, for Adidas to make a boot.
A nice just injury, you know, recovery boot. With the three stripes.
Yeah, would have been crazy.
So we got a lot to go over. So as always, welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
Just a quick thing before we get started on the show, we have to mention we have a huge event happening tomorrow.
Are you and I going to be hanging out somewhere tomorrow?
Exactly, because our studio is just a couple blocks from Legends Sports Bar.
It's so cool they named it after us.
Exactly. So Legend NYC is a, I mean, just you know, it's in the name, a legendary soccer space.
It's for a very long time was the home of the U.S. men's national team and U.S. women's national team.
Yeah, yeah.
All big U.S. soccer games there. It's the first place that gets filled up whenever there's a big soccer event, World Cup, anything.
Exactly.
This is the spot to go. And we're going to be there gracing them with our presence.
Exactly. You know, and we're humble about it.
Yeah.
So the Cooligans, we're partnering up with the Soccer Champions Tour, the Champions Lounge, which is legends. It is a takeover of the bar.
DirecTV.
Yeah. And there's a bunch of events happening throughout the week. I mean, we're looking at the schedule right now on screen. They're doing soccer trivia today.
Yeah, man.
From 8 to 9:30. But it's a lot of. So we're gonna be there Friday, July 19th. Doors are really 7 p.m. and then 7:30 p.m. is when the festivities begin. But we're doing a kit battle. So basically, what you can do is just show up, hang out. Come in your absolute dopest kit with the best story.
Yeah, you gotta have something fly. You gotta have something unique. You gotta have something original. You gotta have a story about it.
Exactly.
I don't care if it's a crazy story how you got it. I don't care if it's a crazy story about watching the game where that shirt was worn.
Yeah, maybe
Pappy
left the family and then he came back and brought this kit. You know,
maybe
what I mean?
My dad left my family, started a family with this person, and they watched and then it together.
So things, you know, there's gonna be a lot of healing involved. Anything can happen.
I'll be crying and trying to chase you with a mom. Long, but it'll
why don't he want me, man? Will Smith.
great scene.
Great scene.
Definitely did not release any PTSD. So it's going to be dope. It's a kid battle. We will be picking a winner. And the crowd will be helping us.
And so we'll have a little competition who has the best kid. And then the winner.
A lot of people out there yipping about how they got a dope kit collection.
And that's what
they're the guy. I'm a collector. I got this.
We're here to see it. So
you got Grail? Bring that Grail out.
Bring it to the event. So again, Legend at 7:30. Doors at 7. So come
be there at 7. We'll be on mic starting around 7:10.
Exactly. So the winner is gonna get the brand new Kylian Mbappe kit from Real Madrid.
Which
we'll be talking about that announcement in a little bit. But especially if you're a Real Madrid fan and you want the new Mbappe kit and you already have a bunch of dope kits, come through and something bringing some absolute heat and you could win a Kylian Mbappe jersey for Real Madrid.
Also the clout. You know,
the clout. I mean, the clout. Just even hanging out.
You've
with
been
us.
Telling all your friends about your kits, and oh, I got the best kit. Well, bring Top Gun, bring the number one out.
Exactly. So let's get to it. First off, let's start with the news in Major League Soccer. Yeah.
Record was broken last night.
Exactly, because the Kevin Sullivan, the midfielder for
has he officially signed with City?
It's like a gentleman's agreement. I think.
Okay.
He signed with the Philadelphia Union and
gave him a check but said don't cash that.
there's a bigger one coming. But no, Kevin Sullivan of the Philadelphia Union becomes the youngest player to ever make his pro debut, and not just in Major League Soccer, but in North American sports history.
Yeah.
So, the player before that, we all remember, Freddie Adu. For DC United.
Well, something nice to say. Did you see his tweet?
I did. He said,
congratulations.
Congrats on breaking the record.
It's a difficult record to break, but he did it.
Mm-hmm.
Best of luck, my man, something like that.
Yeah, we got it. We're reporting the quote, exactly.
It's pretty sweet. It was kind of sweet, though. I don't know that I would have that much... Hubris is the term.
Okay, sure.
You know what I mean? I'd be like, wow.
Oh, wow.
Could wait a couple more days.
Have I been replaced?
You want to take everything away from me?
It was the only thing I had.
Damn. My mom is still alive. She could see this.
How are you? Why are you ruining my life?
Why must everyone else have so many things?
You know, it's like those guys, men and women that go to like, when you go to you've never been to a comic book convention.
Certainly have not.
But when you go,
have you?
I have been to one. Yeah,
was that
only one? Yeah, okay,
that's good. Hey, test the waters.
Okay, I also kissed a girl once.
Wow.
So I mean, don't mean to brag. But
that's how you have a baby.
but what ended up happening? What ends up happening is like there's like little booths or tables.
I've seen and it's like wrestlers whole sign.
And it's one of those things where I didn't know you were still alive,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah,
you know
what I mean? Good for you.
I'm just glad you're here. And Kay, can you do the voice? Yeah. You have a great voice. You do the voice from that cartoon.
You know
cartoon.
How I know this? Because our friend Lucy Pohl, who does all the video game voices.
Yes, yes. She does Overwatch. One of our friends is one of the characters in Overwatch.
Yeah. So she does all these things and people show up and be like, that's you?
Yeah, yeah.
Do the voice.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, dance for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then she does the voice and they're like, all right, hey, can I get a picture?
Yeah, yeah. It's legit.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the thing sort of taken from Freddie Adu. Like, now he has the booth and it's like, well, what is he going to say at the booth? It's like, oh, you're no longer the youngest one. So he has to find a new thing. That's all I'm saying.
You got to get a different booth.
You got to find all the things. But no, this is
you can't be the second youngest ever. You know what I mean?
It's an exciting thing because during the game, so Philadelphia Union finally get out of their losing streak, which was brutal.
It was six out of seven losses and the other one was a draw?
So they hadn't won in like 9 or 10 games.
Yeah, May something.
Yeah, everybody's already been concerned about, you know, what is the team going to look like? Is Jim Curtin going to keep his job? And then they win this game 5-1. And then one of the goal scorers, Quinn Sullivan, Kevin's older brother, scores in this game, and they get to celebrate together.
The whole Sullivan family. The beef is Sullivan versus Aronson, because they're making a bunch of pro Philadelphia Union players, and now the Sullivan's coming up.
Yeah, this is like a competition between like the Rothschilds and the Vanderbilts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're trying to take over.
But instead of controlling, you know, the trains, they control youth soccer.
It's an exciting thing. I wonder,
what's your immediate reaction? Because I know like we could see one of the responses to this. It says that is too young. Burnout will happen when he's real young.
Right, right.
Obviously not a well thought out comment, which I respect because that's how I tend to reply.
This happened with when we were talking about Melanie Barcenas from the San Diego Wave, who started playing at 16, or I believe, or 15 or 16.
Might have been 15.
Yeah. So you sort of expect this, but if this was like if this was a regular thing and it was just happening every other week.
The team was all 14-year-olds.
All 14-year-olds.
I'd be like, yo, don't do this.
14-year-olds with sooty hands. And it's like, hey, should we look into this a little bit?
What do you guys do before? Do you have chimney sweep outfits?
Yeah, if it was that kind of if it was that consistent, I would be a little bit more concerned. But these things happen, what, once?
Yeah.
Every 2-3 years. I mean, you know, I'm surprised it's honestly happening to a player like Kevin Sullivan, just a male player, because we've heard these stories. Wayne Rooney started when he was, I think, 15 or 16.
He didn't look it.
Yeah,
also,
yeah.
Kevin kind of looks older. I mean, that could look like a 22-year-old.
Yeah, yeah. I wish I had this kid's, like, jawline.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
Ever.
Like, why are you so much more manly than me?
I guarantee you he has more chest and back hair than you do. You are like a baby dolphin.
Without a doubt. Yeah, yeah.
You're very aerodynamic in the water.
So this is a... look, obviously, the kid is...
extremely talented.
The scouts are all saying... I mean, he's going to Man City.
Yeah, man, it's not official.
When he turns 18.
Yeah. It's official.
Yeah.
Here's what I'll say, and I think... this is the difficult part of the game in sort of as we develop in this country. It feels like internationally, Europe is getting younger and younger. You know, I look at, you know, Lamine Yamal, look at, you know, Nico Williams is young. You look at Jude Bellingham is young. All these players, like these big superstars, are starting very early. The peak is coming faster. So we're going to have to catch up. But one of the things that I love about this is I was listening to a British podcast. They weren't talking about this, but they were talking about the superstars in Europe. And you know the term they use for when you start a player slowly, because Kevin is slowly getting integrated into the first team. Yeah. Very slowly. They're being a lot more thoughtful with it than they were in Freddie Adu's time, which was like, throw him into the spotlight.
Freddie Adu was like, oh, this is the next Pele. Get him. You're playing 90 minutes plus extra time.
He shows up, suddenly he's got a Sierra Mist in one hand, JoJo's hand in the other hand. You know, this is very different. They're being a lot more thoughtful, and we understand now how to do this.
We all saw what happened to Freddie Adu.
We saw what the negative could be.
Yeah.
But you know how the English term that's slowly... getting someone into it? They say they, I don't know if the, it's they bleed them in or they blood them in. I'm like, bro, man, you gotta come up with a different term.
What cult is this?
I was just like, what y'all doing to belling you?
Wow. Okay. Well, I mean, look, there's always a lot of Englishisms. Isms that, you know, that make us all uncomfortable.
Yeah, some of that stuff is real old timey, man.
Exactly. That's why I will never ask for a cigarette in England.
Thank God we don't smoke.
So, congrats to him. I mean, look, as far as any. I don't know, concerns about him. I mean, I think, especially given that his older brother is already on the team, and who's going to protect you? Who's going to protect you more than your older brother? Like, it's such a healthier environment than like whatever Freddie Adu was in. And nobody's calling him, the next Messi or anything like that.
In fact, that's one of the wildest parts about this is that they haven't raised the level of expectation for this kid at all. People are just excited to see him.
Exactly. They're just like, he's good and he deserves an opportunity. And the saying is, if you're good enough, you're old enough to play. And look, he came in into, I think, like the 85th minute or something like that. It was exciting.
I think he took one shot.
Yeah, he took one shot. So just happy for him. And we know Jim Curtin personally. And as far as looking at or thinking of the right environment for a young player and just like being around a leader and just like a good person, I'm like,
Jim Curtin. You couldn't pick a better.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Jim Curtin, exactly that.
He's an outstanding guy. And also he's had to help develop a lot of youth players.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a little bit of like, you know, let's get him in a good environment. He'll improve more and more. And you know, like Sugarman and the rest of they're like, okay, we're about to about to flip this kid.
Yeah, we're gonna wrap him in bubble wrap real quick.
So it's good business, and I think it's good for his career as an individual. So
you know, MLS said they wanted to be a selling league. Now we're a developing league, which is crazy. We're developing high levels of talent.
Exactly. So they're in a good spot. All right. So some other MLS news.
If you're from Miami, close your eyes.
Lionel Messi. I talked about this with David Goss in the last episode, but obviously he did roll his ankle. His foot looked like a 7 for a moment, which was just
not how you want your foot to look.
You know, it doesn't. You don't want it to make that.
No. When your pinky is sideways looking at you like a fish, you made a mistake.
It's just and look, Messi just rolls his ankle inwards, which is just terrible to see. So he was in a boot watching the game against the Revs. Inter Miami won that game, which is they've only lost one game since Messi and Suarez left for Copa America.
It's like you don't need them.
They're at the top. They're at the top of the supporter shield standings, and
it's almost as if Tata Martino is a good coach that's won MLS Cup already in this league.
And now that all the players are coming back from injury, was it Diego Gomez? Yeah. Is it Federico Redondo? I think it's Federico. I don't remember his first name. Redondo. I think he's got a goal and assist. Or he might have gotten 2 goals. But Messi was watching the game and he was in that boot. So we know I can't remember his name, but there's a guy that I follow on TikTok who is a physio that he kind of gives his opinion whenever he sees an injury on players. He's like, okay, this is the injury they have. This is apologies. I can't remember your name. I will get it back. I'll mention it in the next show or after the break. But he looked at the injury and he was like, this is at least 6 weeks. So that was his estimate.
Which is not as bad as what we all thought. The term indefinitely puts a little bit of fear, right? They said Lionel Messi's out indefinitely. That puts a lot of fear, especially my first thought is, are you afraid to say he's out for the season because of ticket sales and everything else?
Yeah.
But it looks like that might not be the case.
Yeah, it looks like the as far as the, you know, and when they asked him about it, he said like, oh, I'm fine. Like he didn't look, it's not a break. It's not anything too severe. It just looked so bad. And so that obviously causes some concern as far as Messi for the most part, and we saw it at Copa America, even though Argentina won, he didn't look 100%. And realistically, I think not this ankle injury. And it's also on his right foot, not his stronger foot. Yeah. So, which for Messi, it doesn't really matter.
Like, you know, give him a wooden leg. Let him go out there.
But so it's on his right foot. So there's a little bit of like I don't know, to me, a little bit of less concern that he's kind of like, he's probably going to miss League's Cup. You would imagine that, or won't be
MLS All-Star.
Definitely. Yeah, obviously. I mean, that, you know, Garber's just like, what?
This is what we signed him for.
It's just literally couldn't have been at the, it was the last game
of
the day. Come on, man. He would have been so close to just like doing, Messi, we all know he needs to do the press junkets.
Yeah, the promo is as important.
Is almost is as important
as the game.
so Garber, you know, is not happy. So that's like the frustrating part. But more than anything, we know he's been carrying like a.
Here's what I say. You know those little push the kick scooters you put your leg down when you have. Let him out there and get a pink and black one. It ain't his strong foot. You still got your left to be banging in shots.
Imagine, bro. It's just like
ripping up the turn of the
just leaving track marks.
I mean, I see his heat map. It's on the pitch.
But we know Messi's been carrying like a hamstring injury, and that's kind of the fact that he injured his ankle is good for his healing of his hamstring. Yeah. So by the time he comes back,
everything
should be
solid.
Good. And you would think that he's gonna you know, who knows how Inter Miami can go back to back in League's Cup given how they're playing, and Suarez is gonna be there. Mm-hmm.
And Suarez didn't play too much with Uruguay.
He's fine.
So he's rested.
Exactly. He was having physical fights more than he was playing.
Duffing out fans.
So he was good. He didn't fight the fans. But he did get into a couple scraps with players. Yeah. But that's, you know, Suarez being Suarez.
Nah, Darwin Nunez didn't need no help. Bro. He was out there.
I got this, old man.
He's like, nah, chill. We need your knees.
But that's kind of the thing. I think Inter Miami at League's Cup, I think they'll be fine. They could possibly even win it, given how they're playing. So
I wonder if they'll. We always talk about this when it comes to other competitions, and it feels like we do a disservice to the players because we know how much every competition matters to them.
Yeah.
But I wonder if they take their foot off the gas a little bit because you're not going to have Messi. You don't have to put your all into it. You got players coming back from injury. But I'm sure they're going to go for it the same way they go for everything else.
Yeah. You would imagine, though, after... after League's Cup, Messi's back, immediate favorites to not only win the Supporter Shield.
They look good. They look good without him. Imagine with Messi.
And probably win MLS Cup. And then he can finally win that trophy that has eluded him for so long, the MLS Cup.
Could you imagine? Just one last major trophy.
Exactly, because his career is not really complete.
No.
I hate all these pundits are like, Messi's won everything. He doesn't want. What is the motivation? Slow it down, dog.
Two. MLS Cup, US Open Cup.
Okay. And he also hasn't won MLS All-Star. So, you know, that's honest.
But he ain't even been in the playoffs.
He hasn't even been in the playoffs.
I don't even know what the group stand. I don't know what we're doing this year. He don't even know what the playoffs is like.
So
can he do it?
Is he the GOAT?
We're about to find out. Maybe in Europe.
We're asking, and does that really matter, though? That's not, nobody really even like watches.
Out here, I don't think that really.
Exactly. So people, don't just give him the GOAT crown.
Yeah, nah, right? He got to prove it out here.
He got to prove it out here. So, all right. Speaking of Argentina and Lionel Messi.
Yeah.
And everything going on
Which, by the way, he caught a stray in this, I think, for no reason.
For no reason.
He had nothing to do with any of this.
So that more lighthearted news. Let's talk about Argentina after they win Copa America. And for some reason, Enzo Fernandez.
We're not going to play the song.
We're not going to play it. I'm going to play the video, but it's not going to be any sound.
Let's hope that's true.
There it is. No sound. So Enzo Fernandez decided to go on IG Live in the bus as they're celebrating, and we all sort of know what happened. They started singing a chant that we heard originally at the World Cup, the Men's World Cup in 2022. Argentinian fans started singing a song that was basically denigrating and about the French players and saying that they're not sort of, the song is essentially saying they're not actually French. They're from these African countries.
Yeah.
And even when we first heard it, the reporter was like, the Argentinian reporter was like, hey, no, we're not, don't sing that. But as soon as the song got out, and as soon as the reporter was like, don't sing that, Every Argentinian was like, yo, we singing that.
Yo. Did he say not to? Because that means we have to.
Because we have to sing it louder, actually. Yeah. So this...
it's one thing for the fans to chant something, whether you want to consider racist or not, or, you know, degrading or denigrating to the players. Sure. But for the players to do it.
Yeah.
Especially when this had nothing to do with France, man.
You're playing in Colombia. You're playing Copa, you want to get, you know, they ran out of songs to sing, and they're like, "Yo, do you want to go back to the classics?
Yeah, let's bring back the old stuff,
the old stuff, yo. The pre-civil rights era stuff.
Let's do a little retro. We go vintage shopping on songs.
So this is the comment sections, and this is, I mean, look, lately. The comment section on any app on anything is just it's always been bad, but it feels like it's extra worse.
Yeah, it also feels like if the worst comment you make, the more it gets to the top.
Right.
So yeah, don't trust any comment section.
Exactly. So it sort of feels like there's a lot of people that are okay with this. Based on comment sections. And I'm like, but when you talk to real people, everybody's like, nah, it's ain't cool. And one of the people who thought it was not cool was Wesley Fofana.
Wesley Fofana.
Teammate of...
hit the translate post button so that people can see what this is. Because I think it's two words, but it's very significant.
Yeah. So
uninhibited racism.
Yeah. So he goes, football in 2024, uninhibited racism. So
now let me give you a little context. I was having a conversation with a friend's father, who they don't have a great relationship. Mm. But I was like, you're a dad. Here's a chance to talk to a dad. and he goes... We were talking about, he was shocked. He's from, I believe, South Africa, right? He was floored at how much I knew about the sport of soccer. He was like, oh my God. When he heard that I worked in soccer, his son was like, yeah, he's on TV and he has a podcast that's really popular. He was like, well, yeah, here. Meaning like, well, yeah, that's easy to do in this country.
Uh-huh.
You just say the word soccer and they're like, get on there. Your podcast is not number one. And I was just like, all right, I'm not going to argue with the guy's dad. Sure, the guy's dad isn't in a good spot. That's why he's here visiting his son. I'll just let it go. So eventually we have a conversation. He's literally like, wow, as I'm saying simple things like, yeah, Pirlo played for AC Milan. Oh, you man. Know that?
Look at the savant.
Wow. How did you know that? And he goes, we start talking about the national team, and I said, your friend's got a lot of quality. I think they're going to do pretty well in the Euros. They just have so much talent. And he goes, you know, I'm not racist, which is something someone says when they're about to do what?
Thank you for being extra racist. But it's
wow,
like,
dumb racist.
But thank you for just the preface like, oh, because I was concerned for I until you told me. I thought you might be.
I had this idea that some of the things you said were dog racist. But he said, hey, I'm not racist. But I just think, yes, this France team has a lot of talent. I just missed the time when they were French. And I was like, oh, and his son was like, swoop. And was like, no, probably what's going on in his head. And I very gently said, like, well, all of the players that play for this team were born in France. So I think you can sleep comfortably knowing that they're French. She goes, no, I mean pure French. And I was just like, And what? I go, hey, man.
They hit the P word? Yeah. That's bad, bro.
I go, let me ask you a question. If they were born in that country, have family in that country, and have a passport, is that not pure enough? And at this point now, I'm just like, beach ball. Hey, guys, say it, huh? Say what you want to say so I can get out of this conversation.
Right.
And he goes, I think you know what I mean. I go, unfortunately, I do.
Yeah.
And we kind of left it at that, and we walked away. The reason I bring that up is because people are saying the song isn't necessarily racist. They're just pointing out that some of these players' heritage doesn't trace back for multiple generations in France. Right. So technically, they're not French. That's bullshit.
Yeah, yeah.
That is a sentiment someone who only would say, hey, by the way, I'm not racist, and then say something wildly racist, would say. So this is very much something that, you know, hits at the core of a sentiment, a growing sentiment, even within the French, that...
I mean, it's a huge problem that they're dealing with now. It's like the everything is about migrants and the xenophobia and racism that they're constantly dealing with. So this is why Wesley Fofana...
And also, y'all pulled up to their countries.
Yeah.
Went there.
There's so many issues, and again, the song in itself is problematic, but when we understand that we can't police fans. We can't we can't tell them what to sing.
Can't fire a fan.
Exactly. You can't. We're not. We can tell them. Same thing with the Mexico fans, and we tell them stop yelling the chant, el grito, and they. It's like. We try and try, so they know it's wrong, and they're gonna do it anyway. But if the players started doing it, we'd be like, okay,
all right, you know how hard it is to convince them, and now you guys,
they get it from watching you. You know what I mean?
It's like you ever get asked to like hang out with your little cousin or something, mm-hmm. and then you do something stupid, and your parents are like, bruh.
I mean, no, that doesn't happen to me because I'm a mature adult that knows how to carry
himself. Even when you were younger. You never did something stupid? Not,
I mean, I guess. I mean, it's not.
I remember my little cousin had a fork and was walking towards the electrical outlet. And I was like, well, this is going to be hilarious. And my mom's like, I'm actually going. I was like, I'm watching him do something stupid.
That's the thing. It's like the players should obviously know better. And I loved, obviously, your co-host in Morning Footy, Nico Cantor.
Said it best. So, by the way, one of the proudest Argentinians in the world.
Yeah.
For him to have to talk about a situation like this makes him unhappy and uncomfortable.
It's embarrassing. Yeah. And that's completely understandable, but it's something that needs to be confronted. The interesting aspect here is that Enzo Fernandez's Chelsea teammate calls him out. I mean, he retweets it.
Wesley Fofana was like, yo.
Really? He's like, yo, you, this is, I mean, he didn't say you are racist, but he said it without saying it.
Yeah.
So he's saying uninhibited racism, that the players can do this. And this is the thing. And if you saw the live, Enzo knew.
Oh, he was doing that thing. Right? How do I shut this off?
Yeah. He knew.
So he's like, I think the second bar goes kind of hard. I need to delete this.
So, look, he put out an apology.
In Comic Sans, man. In Comic,
you can't. I mean, bro, this just.
How did you choose this?
Not a great idea.
This is one of the most ChatGPT.
Crisis PR company. He goes, I want to apologize sincerely for a video posted on my Instagram channel during the national team celebrations. The song includes highly offensive language, and there is absolutely no excuse for these words. I stand against discrimination in all forms and apologize for getting caught up in the euphoria of Copa America celebrations. That video, that moment, those words do not reflect my beliefs or my character. Which, look, I'll say this.
Is there anything else? Is there something underneath that?
That was the end of
it. Okay. It looks like there's something else hidden.
Oh, okay. Well, let me see.
Just so that we give it a little bit of respect.
Yeah. Oh.
I'm truly sorry. So that's the end of the quote from him in Comic Sans.
So I'll say this. I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt a little bit. Do I genuinely think that Enzo Fernandez is a just flat out racist?
No.
I don't think that. It is just one of those things of in reality, it's not just his fault. He's the one who was on the live.
Yeah.
Everybody was singing it. So
he's one of the bigger names that you see.
Exactly.
So you're the one who's going to get called out.
Exactly. So look, no, he posted it. So he has to deal with the brunt of the responsibility. But to some degree, this is a bigger issue that all the Argentinian players that are carrying on singing that song have to. I mean, we probably won't know exactly who it was, but they have to deal with that criticism as well. And the main thing is you. The players, especially these players who just won one of the biggest trophies in the world, you have to be role models and you have to be better role models. And there's no excuse for singing this corny ass song.
I don't even think you have to be role models. You just have to not be racist or homophobic or, you know what I mean? I don't think you have to be inclusive. You just have to be not the opposite of whatever inclusive is.
It's not about having to, like my opinion, you don't have to be anything because there are players that have either conservative views or conservative values
or just are racist and it doesn't matter what side of the line they fall on. There's people with really bad ideas that happen to have a strong arm and can throw a curveball or, you know what I mean? Can score goals.
The main thing is like when it comes to a work environment that you are, you know, you're trying to, Enzo is going to, Chelsea's playing in the U.S. He is going to connect with his team and get back to that team. There's a lot of French players that he plays with that are going to be like, yo, dog. Like, I saw this on Morning Footy when Nigel and
Zat.
And their approach as former players, black players also, they're saying, you know what? Maybe I may not talk to him, but when we're training, some of those challenges might be a little bit rougher than if I was.
Hey, this is a way to self-police it.
Exactly. Yeah. And so it's like you're putting yourself in, you're just giving yourself a lot of problems by not only holding these views, which I genuinely don't really think that Enzo Fernandez holds these views, but he is espousing them. So you have to be.
It's even more than espousing. It's the idea that, well, it's just a chant. Like, it's not that big. It's the loose, I'm having fun, I don't mean it. That's fine, but you can understand how somebody watching this who may be a fan of yours.
But you have to be responsible about it, because even I love what Nigel said on Morning Footy, where when I think he played at Newcastle or something like that, or I don't even exactly know, but he was talking to a fan from Sunderland, and the Sunderland fan was like, hey, sing this song with me. And it's like a song kind of, you know, shitting on Newcastle. Yeah. And he goes, I'm not going to sing that. Why would I sing that? I'm only going to get in trouble. I'm not agreeing with you or supporting it, but because it's just a little bit of banter. Now I have to deal with the repercussions of that. Not you.
Which is his career.
Exactly. His career, yeah. So that's kind of the main thing. It's like the song should not be sang at all. But even on top of that, it should 100%, 2000% not be sang by the players.
Absolutely not.
It literally makes no sense. And
the one thing I will say, though, is at least most of the people that have come out have either said, hey, he's a good person, or this is terrible, don't do this. It's not like someone would come out and say, screw that, go harder, you know, especially not a political figure within that country.
No, that would not happen. Because that's almost exactly what happened. And this is what the vice president of, this is, who is this?
Vicky Villarruel.
The FA, who is
Vicky? No, she's the vice president of Argentina.
Of the
country.
The country, not the FA.
No, she's like Kamala Harris.
Okay. So, and she...
Only by title of vice president. So
let's confirm.
I'm pretty sure
who this is, because I don't know. But the quote said from her, it says, no colonialist country is going to intimidate us for a football song.
Vice president of Argentina.
Yeah, okay. So leaning in. Because, I mean, also, I'm sure the president, who is also a maniac, 100% agrees. So the quote goes, no colonialist country is going to intimidate us for a football song, nor telling the truths that they do not want to admit. Stop simulating indignation, hypocrites. Enzo, I'll back you. Messi, thanks for everything. Argentines always with the held high. Long live Argentina. First thing I saw, Messi's probably like, hey, why am I in this?
What I got to do with any of it? You're not welcome. You know what I mean? I got nothing to do with that. I wasn't in the bus. I don't sing songs. I stare deeply into cameras without smiling.
I don't know music. I've never heard music before.
I honestly believe he may have never heard music before.
Okay. So this is a, they're leaning in because we also heard that the French.
Is this a surprise, though, from a country that refuses to even admit they're Latino?
This is a surprise. I mean, I think it has to do with the sort of the political climate right now in Argentina.
Her and the president are very far
president,
right.
President Sideburns. I don't even know his name.
Yeah, bro, Dugout. Sideburns. America, bro. Which apparently is like a thing now. You got a bad haircut, you get to be the president.
A man looks like a beetle.
Yeah, facts, man. He looks like he's wearing two different wigs.
I think this is sort of the political climate now, sort of just the right wing kind of era that we're kind of in, which is like, people are more informed. So there's a certain thing of like, oh, like all the racists are going to die out and that's going to stop. And it's like, no. It's only going to get a little, people are going to find new ways to do it.
Yeah, it turns out the internet is a racist academy. It is
the development is crazy.
Bro.
And so this is kind of what they said. I mean, France, I think the France FA talked about, either they filed a complaint or they're suing Argentina, something along those lines.
Yeah, I believe there is a lawsuit happening.
Yeah, so this is something beyond sort of just the sport, and so this is why politicians are gonna, weigh in and say, and it's just that it's just the statement in itself. No colonialist country is going to intimidate us for a football song, nor for telling the truths that they do not want to admit. This can't be coming from Argentina. This is crazy.
Do you know how y'all got there?
This is unbelievable, bro.
This is ridiculous. That's like us getting upset at another country for like putting too much cheese on stuff. It's like, bro, you're
yeah.
We cannot be. Who you are?
We cannot be. This cannot be the argument that they make. So I think it leads to this a larger.
But honestly, this is just a. This is a signal to their side of the political spectrum to be like, rise up and, you know, yell back and we shouldn't have to apologize for doing something wrong. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. It's so stupid. All this is ridiculous. I mean, I get it. Maybe this makes her a bigger name with her own people, but it's just you don't feel terrible.
Yeah, it's gross.
You don't go to bed at night being like, damn, this is who I am.
But what are you for the song? You want the song to be sung?
Song ain't even that. It ain't even a banger.
It
bro.
Don't even slap like no. that. You're not even hitting the top 200 on the Billboard, bro.
Dog.
It's gross. So I don't know. I don't understand. What are they defending? Enzo already apologized. Look, is it? Can nothing be fixed? Can it not be mended? I don't know. And so there's a lot of French footballers.
Yeah.
And France in itself, they just had their election where like the right wing were trying to take over and they lost and whatever. But the big platform is these immigrants are ruining the purity of this country. Yeah. And that's what this song represents.
Exactly. Now you're singing something that's a dog whistle to all that. Not even a dog whistle. That's a full on whistle. That's a mega horn for all that.
Okay, yo, dog, it's terrible. So I look, whatever. The people are gonna agree with her, and the people are gonna agree with that sentiment. Right. But it is what it is. I mean, it's like I don't understand the.
But fine, I could care less about those people. Talk to me about how the players Enzo now has to go face, whether it's as an opponent or as a teammate. Talk to me about how they feel.
That's what.
And I know that Nico Jackson posted like a supportive thing and posted a video of him playing with a black child, which I guess was like, all right, are we good? What do you expect him to do to a black child? Push the baby out of the way? Clearly, he's not. He's a human being.
Thank goodness it wasn't Enzo with Lamine Yamal.
Oh my God. Good God in that tub. Okay, stop getting hit. Get your hands off his neck, Enzo.
My man, just like, stop using sandpaper to watch.
Yeah, geez.
This is terrible.
Bleach, you know? But I get that, and I get that some people were like, hey, man, I know him. He's not racist. I think that's the issue is not saying, yes, Enzo Fernandez is racist because he sang the song. You made a mistake. You sang a song that is bad, that has racist undertones to it,
yeah.
That is a dog whistle to this whole thing that's happening that a lot of these black players from France have to deal with, even within the confines of their own country and their own national team. So, yeah, you have to apologize for that.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah.
And you have to make amends somehow.
Yeah, it's weird that he apologizes and then, because there's no way he wants people defending this because it only makes it more hot for him.
Yeah. So, imagine you just make a simple mistake, obviously not racist, mm-hmm. and a whole group of bad people are like, one of us, and you're like, no. Yo, let me get my Comic Sans ready to go because I need to make all types of statements.
My schedule's packed. I can't go to your meetings. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. So yeah, ridiculous and terrible. And we'll see what happens because I mean, Chelsea are playing games really, really very soon in the US. And I'm curious to see, you know, a lot of the reporters, all the journalists, are going to be asking these questions. Let's see how it's all handled because he has a lot of French teammates, and yeah, it is what it is. It feels a little similar to the Corbin Albert kind of stuff.
Very much so.
Yeah, yeah. So,
well, Chelsea, you still have time to shift all the games to red states.
All right, let's take a quick break, and we got a couple. We'll talk a little U.S. Women's National Team leading into the Olympics, and Mbappe going to Real Madrid. So, a couple things to catch up on. All right, we're back. But yes. we got some gifts. Wait,
we make sure you get the right one here. Yep, medium.
Okay.
So look at this.
I got to give a shout out to Yahoo and One Football for coordinating this. But we got some kits.
Look at this.
From One Football.
OneFootball.club.
Let's go. So One Football, obviously, Yahoo and One Football partnering up. And, you know, and that's why the Cooligans are here as well.
That's right, baby.
But shout out. Thank you, One Football, for the jerseys.
Beautifully done. These are fire. Maybe I'll rock this on Morning Footy.
Okay. Let's go.
This is beautifully done.
Footy Kit Friday. So shout out to One Football. Thank you so much for that. All right, a couple things real quick.
Great app, by the way. You put your favorite clubs in, keeps you up to date.
You got the augmented reality.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Where you can see the pit, you can see the formation.
You can see the formations and lineups like right on your on your desk.
You could literally pull right up to Enzo Fernandez, say whatever you want to him. You go right up to him.
Okay, if you need to get any frustration out, just yell at Enzo. You can see his face right there.
Your family don't want to hear it. Get it out.
The One Football app. Okay. So a couple of quick things. The in Major League Soccer news. Marco Reus is going to be joining the LA Galaxy.
Is it done? Is it a done deal?
But according to the homie Tom Bogert, he mentioned that it's pretty close. I think Fabrizio Romano initially reported on it first.
He said, "Here we go, expected soon."
Exactly. So, so Marco Reus to LA Galaxy.
You showing his tweet instead of Tom's?
I can't find Tom's, but Tom was on not Morning Fit.
I think he was on the Scoreline.
So he's doing all right. I mentioned his name first, but yeah.
But Tommy Scoops, I think, had it first.
I don't know. I don't want to get into this.
Let's just give him credit for it.
Okay. All right. Tom is alleged. But
they're first place in the West, LA Galaxy. This is huge.
Yeah, yeah. This is a big move. I mean,
this is like the best team in the East getting Messi. Oh wait, they will in 6 weeks.
Marco Reus, I think I mentioned this before on the show. I like the move. It feels a little too retirement league-ish. You know, the accusations of retirement league. I don't know.
You're not wrong, but you're not right.
I love him as a player. I think he's great, and I'm glad that
he's still got quality.
Without a doubt. And so my only concern, and this is like if I was a GM and trying to find a big-name player, is that Marco Reus has not really, like, played a complete season in quite a while.
Also, he tends to get injured before major tournaments, but there are no more. he's done with Germany.
Yeah, yeah. So look.
Also, you expect that he's not going to be a week in, week out starter for the entire season. They're a deep enough team. LA Galaxy are a deep enough team. Fagundes is playing well. Peck is playing well. Puj is playing well. Pantsil is playing well. Jovalich is playing well. They're probably going to have to trade somebody to give up some cap space to make this deal done. But for the most part, you've got enough out there where you can say, like, all right, you can take a bit of a break. You can take a game off, take a match off. Don't go on, you know, on the long trip to the East Coast. You don't have to play the first match. You can give your body a little bit more time to recover.
Yeah. I think, you know, we had this even in recent history, right? Gareth Bale, Chiellini.
Gareth Bale a little bit over the hill when he got here. No, just a little bit.
I don't think so. That wasn't my expectation at the time. I was more concerned about, and we were more concerned about Chiellini, but Chiellini.
Yeah, we were all wrong.
We were wrong, but also I think his minutes were handled well. He didn't play every game. That wasn't really the expectation. They had a good amount of support for and depth at center back for LAFC, and they won MLS Cup. Yeah. Did Chiellini lost? No. He won
MLS Cup.
He won MLS Cup, and then they lost the next year in the final to Columbus. So. I think they'll be fine, especially given that the LA Galaxy are already good. Like, I can't imagine you bring in a really good player and he ruins everything that they've already built.
But it's also like a nice, you know, the competition with LAFC locally. They go out and get Giroud, and you're like, all right,
yeah,
we also gonna go get not as pretty.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Giroud's still prettier.
Okay,
you know,
I mean, we do, and we tend to compare the looks of players when they, especially MLS players when they come
in. How else do you do it?
I don't. That's it. What we do, you know. Right. I don't know. That's why you came here, right? Yeah. I don't know. Okay,
I know what I'm interested in.
So, with all due respect, Marco, I mean, you're handsome in your own way.
You're a good-looking guy.
Giroud is Giroud. Oh,
come on,
let's. I mean, we're not even saying anything offensive.
Yeah, no. I think even you would admit. Hey, second best. Second prettiest, but hey, you know, maybe you guys win.
Good move. The other another thing I wanted to make sure we talked about was Mbappe being announced to the Real Madrid fans at the
full stadium
at the Bernabeu. Great to see. I wonder. I mean, we had this with when Messi and was Suarez. Suarez wasn't part of the announcement. It was Messi and Busquets and Jordi Alba. And we had that moment of like the event of just announcing the players. And I'm like, why don't we do this a little bit more? Because we remember even Real Madrid does this with pretty much every like.
They sign big names.
They sign big names, but they did this with Mariano.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it's not like, always with big names.
You guys don't know him?
Well, I wish we had, they just, like they sign a homegrown. Right. And it's like, hey, everybody, come to the stadium and welcome this kid.
You could do this in MLS if you gave away like a free beer for coming. The place would be full.
Without a doubt.
One free beer.
Not even. I initially, I thought you were going to be like, are they going to give away a car? No. But no.
You can do that too.
You can give away.
He drives out of the bitch.
You get one lucky winner.
Yeah.
We'll get the car just
for being there.
Just for being there.
Oh, yo, the new signing pulls the name out of a big bucket.
Yeah, yeah. It's like
or like they do the Plinko.
Like we do, like Yolanda Vega picking the lottery numbers.
Yes.
Very New York reference.
Very millennial New York reference, might I add.
Shout out to Yolanda Vega.
Wherever you are, bro.
So that would be dope. But the one thing that a lot of people are talking about is Mbappe when he was speaking Spanish.
He's been learning Spanish since he was a kid because he always wanted to play for Real Madrid. Isn't that crazy?
Which is beautiful. And his Spanish is flawless. It's pretty amazing. It is really, really good.
Castellano is on point.
There are people that actually on TikTok who tease him for basically saying that he has different personalities depending on the language he speaks. So when he speaks French, he is more masculine. And then when he speaks English, he like softens it so much that it's like a little bit more feminine. And they sort of tease him about it.
I also think it's maybe he's not as comfortable.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, look, French is his native language. Yeah. The fact that he knows all three like very, very well.
You know, that's better than both of us.
I would love to sound like a girl in, Igbo or something.
Yeah, I would love to be able to speak French at all. You know how much easier ordering at a bakery would be?
I could care less. Yeah. So this is amazing. But when I was listening to him speak Spanish, I was just like, oh, yo, no. Like, not only is he going to a spectacular player, but it is we know Gareth Bale when he went to Real Madrid. He was like, hey, no, I'm not.
Hola, todo mundo. Estoy at Real Madrid.
Yes. And so we all know Real Madrid fans don't really appreciate when somebody doesn't try to like sort of ingratiate themselves.
I think all of Europe.
Okay.
And I actually thought about this on this last trip to Europe.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of because we speak Spanish, I think it's a little easier for us to speak Italian. We already kind of sound like we speak Italian when we speak Spanish.
Sure, sure.
So when we pronounce things in Italian, people are like, whoa, are you from here? And the people, I would say like, buongiorno. And I would like get into like asking for something and people would be like rattling off Italian. I'm like, yo, chill, not Italian, right? You got to use faster than my Google Translate app, right? What I think what I realize is people want, of course, appreciate, no matter where you are in Europe, they appreciate if you even attempt to at least start with a hello, how are you kind of a thing.
France is not really like that.
No, if you say bonjour, they're at least a little bit warmer.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
About, and then they roll their eyes, but they don't start off with like, right? So a little bit, what I didn't realize is, every country, they're basically like a state. Like imagine we as New Yorkers we didn't know how to speak Iowanese, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Or South Dakotan.
You're right.
No one's learning that, you know what I mean? Like, we're all one big country, so yeah, we know English. We don't really get into the other stuff unless you have a family member where you were raised in a certain way. So we know Spanish because that was our first. They know all these different languages. Oh, like, they're like, I know how to speak a little bit of French. I know how to speak a little bit of that. Well, yeah. You're 2 hours away by train.
Yeah, you would,
from this country.
It would make the most sense that you would pick it up a little bit.
If Philadelphia spoke in a different language, you and I would at least have to be able to say hello.
Yes, yes. Well, good point. It is impressive because we know the footballers tend to, they don't have to do this, but the fact that they do, I think it helps them professionally in so many ways.
Yeah, remember in Wrexham when Rob McElhinney learned how to say a bunch of stuff in Welsh. And immediately the fans are like, we love this
exactly,
guy.
Exactly. So
it shows you care.
Yeah, yeah. His
call your mother.
Just hearing him, I just want to play a quick second of it of Mbappe speaking Spanish.
Mi español es bueno. Puedo mejorar en todo el vocabulario.
He got the J's. We our J's sound like Y's in like Caribbean Spanish, but the mejorar. He got the phlegmy J.
Well, he's French. I mean, he got that.
but no,
every R, you know, builds up a little.
But
phlegm.
You hit the phlegmy J.
Yo, all of a sudden,
and
like,
the Spanish are like,
so great name for a rapper. But phlegmy J, bro, he's got that crazy mixtape.
So good on him. It was exciting to see. So
I'm happy for the way this has worked out for him. All the photos of him growing up with all the Real Madrid posters.
Yeah.
You're good for him. I know PSG fans don't feel the same way, but I'm
happy
he
was
him.
Trying to get out of there for years and they were being haters. So, so good for him. I can't wait to actually see that first game and the formation. Where's Vinny playing? Who's playing where?
Honestly, dude,
I'm excited.
You feel like Rodrigo's going to have to go, right?
Sure.
Goes.
Rodrigo, where's he go? Is anyway, I don't know why I did that. Let's wrap up.
You seem so happy when you were doing that. I didn't want to take it away from
my
you.
My notes say "I love you, Dad" from Alexis.
Yeah, And other things that aren't true.
U.S. Women's National Team, they played their last two friendlies before going to the Olympics. They won against Mexico 1-0, and they drew 0-0.
What a great name.
Costa Rica.
Priscila Cincilla. Cinchilla.
Chinchilla.
Chinchilla.
Chinchilla. Yeah.
Great name.
The jersey looks great. Just, I mean, chinchilla.
Chinchilla.
Right on there.
Damn, aren't you hot?
Imagine you just playing full on chinchilla. So my first thought after watching these two games is the score lines. After the Women's World Cup, I was concerned.
Okay, while you're talking, can you scroll down to the stats?
Sure.
You can see it on the right-hand side?
Yeah. The
U.S. is on the left, by the
U.S.
way.
On the 80% possession.
26 total shots, 12 of them on target. Come on.
But 0-0.
Yes.
1-0 and 0-0 is not giving me the confidence of going into these Olympics and thinking, oh, they can dominate the region and all they got to do is just kind of do that against international talent from other federations.
Emma took a little while to get here. She did a little sabbatical at Chelsea before she got here. So we haven't seen her really, really put her imprint just yet. But we're seeing they're trying different formations. They're trying different players. Again, they brought in players that were very, that could play in multiple positions. So for the most part, I'm perfectly fine with what's happening, understanding that there's probably a higher level that will get reached by the time the Olympics is over. I don't even care if they win the Olympics. So obviously, I hope they do. But I'm saying, to me, it's not like Emma Hayes, what's she doing? I don't think we're at that point yet. She's got to get her moments. What I like is the fact that these aren't just like mindless crosses into the middle of the box for no reason. We seem to have an idea of what to happen going forward. It's not as... I don't know if loose is the term. It's either loose or too structured when Vlatko was there. Yeah, I can't figure out which one it was, but whatever this is, it feels like Emma Hayes has... There's an understanding that you have to be able to perform in training. You have to give your best. You have to give your all just to get on the team. And then there's an understanding of what is asked of you when you're on the team. Those are two things I don't think were happening under Vlatko at the end. So I think for that, I'm happy with this so far.
Yeah, I'm not hitting.
I agree with you, though. It'd be nice to win 5-0.
Yeah. I'm not hitting the panic button. And Costa Rica and Mexico are much better than they have been in the past.
Right. So not nearly as good as us, though.
Not nearly as good. But just even the approach, especially in the game against Costa Rica, you sort of felt that Emma Hayes is kind of telling Trinity Rodman, like, yo, go off. Do your thing.
Yeah.
And really, you can clearly see she has like more license to do stuff. And there's more. Not only she's taking more shots, she's going at players. There's a little bit of, and I keep harping on this, and I brought this up last week when Kupo and I were talking about what we thought about the Olympics. But I was just like, I really think Trinity Rodman should be delivering more. And so I don't know if I'm being too harsh. I think when it comes to, she was sending in a lot more passes and a lot more crosses. And there's a part of me that's like, this should be a stronger part of her game because she's getting off.
She's also, 21 years old, right? 21, 22?
Yes.
So I don't disagree with you. But what I want to say is I think it's a little bit like Bellingham, right? Like when you're a star, you know what to do. When you're asked to be a part of a team, there's a learning curve. No, yeah, like, yeah. Don't you give her a little bit of grace because of her age?
There is, but I mean, I think the responsibilities and the you know, just the, yeah, she was at the World Cup. You know, there's, I feel like I'm putting a fair amount of responsibility.
Yeah, I don't
and
think you're
pressure.
Overdoing it.
And I'm saying this because I think she is arguably she's our best winger. She's our best, like 1v1 attacker. And she creates more space and more chances and more opportunities for herself than pretty much any other player. So that's why I'm like, I also think Lindsey Horan is probably, she's the captain, but I also think like, she's not really kind of delivering. This game was also, you know, Rose Lavelle wasn't playing in
this
game.
Last minute.
So as far as our best midfielder who can create, it's Rose Lavelle. And when Rose Lavelle's not there.
Do we still know why she was taken out?
I don't know.
They haven't announced anything, but it was.
She played
scary.
Against Mexico. No, I think it's because she played in the game against Mexico. I could be wrong, but I haven't heard anything about any injuries or anything like that. So that's kind of the main thing. I think the team defensively, I mean, you see the possession numbers, you see the shots. Costa Rica didn't even have a shot on target. So defensively, against the competition that we face in this region, we got it. Like, that's why I'm not criticizing any of those players.
Right. But it's the big European country that have gotten a lot better. That's what we got to worry about.
So we are going to we're going to give up some goals. I understand. But why can't we score more? That's where I think that's the project for Emma Hayes. How do you unlock this offense? How do you just get more goals? Even within CONCACAF.
I think we see the signs that it's going to happen because the ball's getting into the right spaces.
Yeah.
There's a lot more danger around the opponent's goal and the opponent's penalty box than we saw under Vlatko towards the end.
Yeah.
So I'm comfortable with the way things are progressing. And these things take time.
Okay.
But you've got Mallory Swanson. You got Sophia Smith. We got ballers.
The last Olympics was awful. We did not. I mean, we got bronze or whatever. But
you think Alex Morgan's at home being like, damn.
Damn.
If only y'all knew someone who could score.
She's not scoring either.
No, she ain't scoring either.
So yeah, that's where my concern is going into these Olympics. So we'll see how it goes. Because, again, I think they can win gold. I mean, they're always in that conversation. But it's going to take a lot more than
what
we've seen.
You have to assume they're the favorites.
No, I do not think
you think Spain?
I think Spain is the favorite.
Yeah, I could see that. But yeah, at least one of the favorites.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, they're not, it's not going to be a breeze. And if, you know, if they lose it, yeah, it can be penalties or whatever. But no, they are not the favorites based on what I've been seeing so far. So, but I'm, you know, I'm still rooting for them. So we shall see. All right, let's wrap up there, everybody. Thank you again for tuning in to another Cooligans. Welcome, Alexis, back.
Come back, baby.
We'll be back next week on Monday, chatting about everything. There'll be some MLS fixtures and some NWSL fixtures as well this weekend. So we'll talk about all that stuff, and I'm sure something else ridiculous will happen because that's how the sport works. So we appreciate it. Shout out to everybody, all the Yahoo folks. Shout out to Colin and Hillary, who are producing today's show. So we always appreciate the support. We're back on Monday. Make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans wherever you have social media. And shout out again to One Football for the jerseys. We appreciate them. All right, everybody. We'll see you Monday. Take care, y'all.